Good evening. After listening to that gospel, you may be asking yourself if Jesus was just having a bad day. For we hear from him two powerful statements. One, that he did not come to establish peace, but rather division. And that he came to set the earth on fire, and he wishes it was already blazing, although it feels like that outside. So at first glance, you may be wondering, where is the good news in this gospel today? But dig down a bit, and you will see that the two verses are complementary statements that point to how to live as Christians. So let's take that first line. See, it was the first few weeks ago, if you remember, that the gospel told us Jesus appointed 72 others, and he sent them out in pairs, warning them that it would be like lambs among the wolves. And thus they were to enter each home with the words, peace to this household. That they were to keep in mind that some towns would welcome them and some towns would not. To which some of the disciples soon came back and they were rejoicing. They were having a good time. They said even the demons are subject to them because of his name. Well, in today's gospel, we hear Jesus really speaking to some of the other disciples who came back from their journeys, and they're not too happy. Matter of fact, their teaching and preaching is causing conflicts, leading to division among communities and even within families. But of course it was. See, keep in mind, Jesus was challenging the political and the religious status quo of his time by giving them a new and different way to live. He was eating with the prostitutes and sinners and breaking the laws as they relate to the Judaic Sabbath. And his teachings, well, they were embarrassing to his family, including his mother, who thought he was going insane. He was teaching such as, be anxious for nothing. Well, easy for him to say, but first century Jerusalem, 90% of the audience were poor and living in poverty. As difficult as life was, Jesus was really teaching them of the new possibilities that exist when you consciously make God the center of your life. Become like a servant. Well, so for the 10% who are doing financially well, they're focused on being the first and the best and the greatest. But yet they're told by Jesus, whoever wants to be first needs to be last of all and servant of all. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So sell your belongings, deny yourself, and follow me. Well, being rich at those days made it easy to think that you were special because of your money, and that all you needed to do was follow the rules in order to earn salvation. Instead, Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is at hand, right now, right here. And that we are called to serve with humility to those who are living on the margins. Love your enemies and bless those that persecute you. Well, for first century Jews living under Roman imperial rule, this pronouncement of Jesus had to be very confusing and disappointing. And that this radical saying is as relevant and challenging today as it was during Jesus' days. He was focused on a new kind of love that was to be shown to others. But come on now. For those of us still vested in us and them, or win, lose, or God loves me and not him, that type of mentality, God really can't mean all of this, can he? No wonder family members were bickering and fighting. And did you notice the wording in today's gospel? It seems to be generational bickering. Father against son, mother against daughter. So perhaps it was the older, wealthier generation that was happy with the status quo of power and prestige and possessions, while the younger generation was gravitating towards this new teaching where social interactions were based on love and focused on those on the margins. Either way, these teachings of Christ were hard for people to hear. And you know what? They still are. They still are because of our own ego, our prejudices, and our own biases. So Sometimes we don't like to hear the truth. We rather hear confirmation of what we feel is true. For we would go around thinking how much easier it would be if everyone just would listen to the gospel of me. So there is that second line there where Jesus says, I've come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it was already blazing. So when you hear this, you may be thinking of some kind of Armageddon. And while fire can certainly destroy, it also purifies, refines, nourishes, guides, instructs, and transforms. Like the fire of a potter who transforms clay into beautiful, useful vessels. Like the fire of a jeweler who refines rough ore into precious gold. Like the fires necessary to destroy the understory oak trees of our New Jersey pinelands and then force open new life from the pine cones so our natural preserve can continue to live for another 20,000 years. All these examples and more are of transformative fire. The type of fire that Jesus wished was already burning. The type of fire that would melt the divisions between generations, between cultures, between religious beliefs, between what we choose to love and what God loves. Richard Rohr, in his soon-to-be-released book on Trinity called The Divine Dance, writes, "Fire melts and dissolves the boundaries between relationships, so we can stop hindering or hiding behind our name, our labels, our definitions, and our descriptions." Another word for this consuming fire, of course, is love. Is this the kind of fire blazing in your own life? If not, what will it take to kindle that fire of love? It was St. Catherine of Siena who said, "If you are who you are meant to be, you will set the world on fire." And then what does that fire look like? As Rio hosts the Olympics this week, it was just 3 years ago when Pope Francis celebrated World Youth Day with over 1 million youth. And at that gathering, he told them, "Let me tell you what I hope will be the outcome of World Youth Day. I hope there will be noise. Here in Rio, there will be plenty of noise, no doubt about it, but I want you to go make yourselves heard in dioceses. I want the noise to go out. I want the church to go out onto the streets. I want us to resist everything worldly, everything static, everything comfortable, everything to do with clericalism, everything that might make us closed in on ourselves. The parishes, the schools, the institutions are made for going out. I think our world's civilization has gone beyond its limits because it has made money into such a god, they were now faced with a philosophy and a practice which exclude the two ends of life, the elderly and the young. So go make disciples, go beyond the confines of what is humanly possible, and create a world of brothers and sisters." So there may be times when hearing the gospel does not necessarily sound like good news. For we may find that it challenges our status quo and threatens how we see life. But today, we're reminded that we are called to preach, we're called to teach, we're called to live our faith even when it makes other people uncomfortable. This is the life we've been baptized into, and this is the life that we're called to live, with a new kind of fiery love.